听力课堂听 class.com
Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
11. If I were you, I'd be more careful about locking the back door at night.
Don't worry, no one will break in.
Question. What does the woman think will happen? Twelve. We could turn down this row and get to the shopping center.
Let's not go that way today because of all the traffic.
Question. What does the man suggest? Thirteen. I'm wondering about the fabric of this dress. Is it washable?I don't want to run up a big cleaning bill.
All the dresses in this section are polyester, so you shouldn't have a problem.
Question. What does the man tell the woman?
Fourteen. My wife and I went over to the Schaefer's for a party.By the way, have you seen their new recreation room?
Very nice. They just finished it a couple weeks ago. It's in the basement, you know.
Question. Where is the recreation room? Fifteen.I was terribly embarrassed when some member of the audience got up and left in the middle of the performance.
Well, some people just can't seem to appreciate live drama.
Question. What did the people in the conversation attend?
Sixteen.Could you tell me how to get to the bus station from here?
Go straight until you come to the stoplight. Turn to the left and go about 3 miles. When you get to the Argo grocery store, turn right. You can't miss it.
Question. What is the woman trying to do?
Seventeen. Since you have visited so many countries, you must be able to speak several different languages.
I wish I could, but French and German are the only foreign languages I have ever learned to speak.
Question. What did the woman say of her knowledge of foreign languages?
Eighteen. Jane told me she was going to quit her job. I'll certainly be sorry to see her go.
Oh, she always says that. I wouldn't buy her a going-away present if I were you.
Question. What does the man think about Jane? Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1. Dad, can I go to the movie with Sharon?
Yeah, sure. But wait, weren't you supposed to get a report card sometime this past week?
Well, oh yeah. Can I call Sharon now?
You didn't answer my question. Did you receive it or not?
I love you, Dad. You're the best.
Don't try to butter me up. I can guess that your answer means that you didn't do well in some of your classes.
Well, my English teacher is so boring. He gets angry suddenly every time someone talks.
In other words, you're not doing so well.
A C? Minus?
Oh. Well, how are you doing in your Spanish class? You said you liked that one.
Well, I do, but I forgot to turn in a couple of assignments, and I had problems on the last test. All those verbs cause many troubles. I get them all mixed up in my head.
Oh.
Can I go now?
And how are you doing in history?
Oh, that's my favorite class. Mr. Jones is always passing out candy if you know the answers to his questions.
Great. Now I have a bright daughter with tooth decay.
Aw, Dad. Can I go now?
You can go if you answer my history question. How old am I?
55?
55? You just failed the math and history test at the same time.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 19. Based on the girl's statements, how would you describe her English teacher? How does she feel about her Spanish class? 21. Why does the girl like her history class?
2. Honey, the basketball game is about to start, and could you bring some chips and a bowl of ice cream? And, a slice of pizza from the fridge?
Anything else?
No, that's all for now. Hey, honey, you know, they're organizing a company basketball team, and I'm thinking about joining. What do you think?
Humph.
Humph? What do you mean, humph? I was the star player in high school.
Yeah, 25 years ago. Look, I just don't want you having a heart attack running up and down the court.
So what are you suggesting? Should I just abandon the idea? I'm not out of shape.
Well, you ought to at least have a medical examination before you begin. I mean, it has been at least 5 years since you've played at all.
Well, okay, but...
And you need to watch your diet and cut back on the fatty foods like ice cream. And you should try eating more fresh fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And you should take up a little weight training to strengthen your muscles, or perhaps try cycling to build up your heart and blood circulation system. Oh, and you need to go to bed early instead of watching TV half the night.
Hey, you're starting to sound like my personal fitness instructor.
No, I just love you, and I want you to be around for a long, long time.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. 22. What does the man want to do? 23. What is the woman's first suggestion to her husband? 24. What does the woman advise about the man's diet? 25. Why does the man's wife recommend cycling?
1. Most people picture sharks as huge, powerful, frightening predators, ready at any moment to use their sharp teeth to attack careless swimmers without provocation. But people may have some wrong ideas on the conception of sharks. First, there are 350 species of shark, and not all of them are large. They range in size from the dwarf shark, which can be only 6 inches long and can be held in the palm of the hand, to the whale shark, which can be more than 55 feet long. Second, the different species of shark vary tremendously in the number and type of teeth. A shark can have from 1 to 7 sets of teeth at the same time, and some types of sharks can have several hundred teeth in each jaw. It is true that the fierce and predatory species do possess extremely sharp and brutal teeth, used to rip their prey apart. Many other types of sharks, however, have teeth more adept to grabbing and holding than cutting and slashing. Finally, not all sharks are predatory animals ready to strike out at humans. In fact, only 12 of the 350 species of shark have been known to attack humans, and a shark needs to be provoked in order to attack. The types of shark that have the worst record with humans are the tiger shark, the bull shark, and the great white shark. However, for most species of shark, even some of the largest types, there are no known instances of attacks on humans.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. 26. What is the main purpose of this passage? Which of the following is not true about a shark's teeth? 28. What can we infer from the passage? 2. The term culture shock has appeared in the popular vocabulary. Culture shock is the effect that immersion in a strange culture has on the unprepared visitor. Peace Corps volunteers suffer from it in Borneo or Brazil. Marco Polo probably suffered from it in China. Culture shock is what happens when a traveler suddenly finds himself in a place where yes may mean no, where a fixed price is negotiable, where laughter may signify anger. It is what happens when the familiar psychological cues that help an individual to function in society are suddenly withdrawn and replaced by new ones that are strange or incomprehensible. The culture shock phenomenon explains much of the bewilderment, frustration, and disorientation that plagues people in their dealing with other societies. It causes a breakdown in communication, a misunderstanding of reality, an inability to cope. Yet culture shock is relatively mild in comparison with the much more serious disease, future shock. Future shock is the frightening disorientation brought on by the premature arrival of the future. It may well be the most serious disease of tomorrow. Future shock is a time phenomenon, a product of the greatly accelerated rate of change in society. It arises from the imposition of a new culture on an old one. It is culture shock in one's own society, but its impact is far worse, for the traveler can at last turn back to his own familiar culture, but the victim of future shock cannot.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. 29. Why future shock is more serious than culture shock? 30. Which does not belong to culture shock? 31. What is the cause of future shock? 3. There are two kinds of memory, short-term and long-term. Information in long-term memory can be recalled at a later time when it is needed. The information may be kept for days and weeks. In contrast, information in short-term memory is kept only for a few seconds, usually by repeating the information over and over. The following experiment shows how short-term memory has been studied. Henning studied how students who are learning English as a second language remember vocabulary. The subjects in his experiment were 75 college students. They represented all levels of ability in English, beginning, intermediate, advanced, and native-speaking students. To begin with, the subjects listened to a recording of a native speaker reading a paragraph in English. Following the recording, the subjects took a 15-question test to see which words they remembered. Each question had four choices. The subjects had to circle the word they had heard in the recording. Some of the questions had four choices that sounded alike. For example, whether, whether, whither, and weather are four words sound alike. Some of the questions had four choices that have the same meaning. Method, way, manner, and system would be four words with the same meaning. Finally, the subjects took a language proficiency test. Henning found that the students with a lower proficiency in English made more of their mistakes on words that sound alike. Students with a higher proficiency made more of their mistakes on words that have the same meaning. Henning's results suggest that the beginning students hold the sound of the words in their short-term memory, and the advanced students hold the meaning of the words in their short-term memory.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. 32. Why did Henning made the experiment? Which of the following statements is true according to the passage? 34. What can we see from Henning's result? 35. What does the passage center on?
6. Monkeys and chimpanzees, although they are weaker and less fierce than many other animals, possess brains which are 55 far along the evolutionary road as any creature other than man. Birds can perform marvels of aerobatics, and they can catch insects on the wing with unparalleled skill. They can navigate in a remarkable manner half round the world and back, but they cannot think and reason. In technical terms, it can be said that they are lacking in insight. The abilities which they do possess are built-in instincts derived from their genetic inheritance. Monkeys, on the other hand, can reason. They can easily remember a lighted door indicating the presence of food. They can remember what kind of food they are looking for. A monkey set the problem of reaching a banana, say, hung high up in its cage, can work out a system for getting it, even if it involves piling up boxes to stand on and then knocking down the banana with a stick. A charming story is told about the psychologist Wolfgang Kobler, who had provided various boxes and other apparatuses by which he proposed to test a chimpanzee's ability to think out a method of reaching a fruit hung 9 feet high in the air. The animal looked about it and sized up the problem. Then it took Kobler by the hand, led him to a position immediately under the banana, jumped up on his shoulder, and reached it down from there. But evolution, although it has brought monkeys to a remarkable degree of cleverness, has stopped short at a crucial ability, the possession of which places man at a clearly superior level. Their minds cannot cope with abstract ideas. For example, an ape can be taught to fill a can with water from a barrel and take the can of water to put out a fire so that it can reach into a box and get food. But if the whole setup is arranged on a raft, the animal will continue to draw its water only from the barrel.
it cannot grasp that any water, taken more conveniently, say, from a pond on which the raft is floating, will put out the fire just as well. The abstract idea that water puts out fire is beyond it. Monkeys and chimpanzees, although they are weaker and less fierce than many other animals, possess brains which are 55 far along the evolutionary road as any creature other than man. Birds can perform marvels of aerobatics, and they can catch insects on the wing with unparalleled skill. They can navigate in a remarkable manner half round the world and back, but they cannot think and reason. In technical terms, it can be said that they are lacking in insight. The abilities which they do possess are built-in instincts derived from their genetic inheritance. Monkeys, on the other hand, can reason. They can easily remember a lighted door indicating the presence of food. They can remember what kind of food they are looking for. A monkey set the problem of reaching a banana, say, hung high up in its cage, can work out a system for getting it, even if it involves piling up boxes to stand on and then knocking down the banana with a stick. A charming story is told about the psychologist Wolfgang Kobler, who had provided various boxes and other apparatuses by which he proposed to test a chimpanzee's ability to think out a method of reaching a fruit hung 9 feet high in the air. The animal looked about it and sized up the problem. Then it took Kobler by the hand, led him to a position immediately under the banana, jumped up on his shoulder, and reached it down from there. But evolution, although it has brought monkeys to a remarkable degree of cleverness, has stopped short at a crucial ability, the possession of which places man at a clearly superior level. Their minds cannot cope with abstract ideas. For example, an ape can be taught to fill a can with water from a barrel and take the can of water to put out a fire so that it can reach into a box and get food. But if the whole setup is arranged on a raft, the animal will continue to draw its water only from the barrel. It cannot grasp that any water, taken more conveniently, say, from a pond on which the raft is floating, will put out the fire just as well. The abstract idea that water puts out fire is beyond it. Monkeys and chimpanzees, although they are weaker and less fierce than many other animals, possess brains which are 55 far along the evolutionary road as any creature other than man. Birds can perform marvels of aerobatics, and they can catch insects on the wing with unparalleled skill. They can navigate in a remarkable manner half around the world and back, but they cannot think and reason. In technical terms, it can be said that they are lacking in insight. The abilities which they do possess are built-in instincts derived from their genetic inheritance. Monkeys, on the other hand, can reason. They can easily remember a lighted door indicating the presence of food. They can remember what kind of food they are looking for. A monkey set the problem of reaching a banana, say, hung high up in its cage, can work out a system for getting it, even if it involves piling up boxes to stand on and then knocking down the banana with a stick. A charming story is told about the psychologist Wolfgang Kobler, who had provided various boxes and other apparatuses by which he proposed to test a chimpanzee's ability to think out a method of reaching a fruit hung 9 feet high in the air. The animal looked about it and sized up the problem. Then it took Kobler by the hand, led him to a position immediately under the banana, jumped up on his shoulder, and reached it down from there. But evolution, although it has brought monkeys to a remarkable degree of cleverness, has stopped short at a crucial ability, the possession of which places man at a clearly superior level. Their minds cannot cope with abstract ideas. For example, an ape can be taught to fill a can with water from a barrel and take the can of water to put out a fire so that it can reach into a box and get food. But if the whole setup is arranged on a raft, the animal will continue to draw its water only from the barrel. It cannot grasp that any water taken more conveniently, say, from a pond on which the raft is floating, will put out the fire just as well. The abstract idea that water puts out fire is beyond it.